It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
We are in Book of Matthew, chapter 26. We're going to start from verse 1.
And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples, Ye know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests, and the scribes, and the elders of the people, unto the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas. And they consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him.
Okay. Now here you see, last two chapters, if you remember, Jesus Christ took his disciples on the Mount Olive, and they asked the questions about his coming and the end of the world. And Jesus explained to them. And that's why he's saying, when all of these things finished, he started telling them, now within 2 days, they will be Passover. And then he was trying to tell them that these people are going to betray me. At that time, did not say his disciple, but Son of Man is going to be betrayed, and those people are going to kill him. And now these people were always thinking about how to kill Jesus, and they were looking for opportunity, but it was difficult for them because hundreds and thousands of people following Christ. And we learn in the early chapters in Luke chapter 4, he went to the synagogue, he took the book, he opened to the chapter 61 of Isaiah, and he opened it and read it, and he says, in front of your eyes, this scripture is fulfilled. And he was trying to prove it to them that I am Messiah. And they didn't like it, and they wanted to push him from the mountain cliff and kill him, but he disappeared from them. So many times they wanted to kill him, but they were not able to do it. Now this was his timing. Okay, verse 5.
But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat.
Okay, now this story is given in Mark as well as in John, but we will be coming to that later on. But here he says he was in the house of Simon the leper. Now, I don't know if that Simon is the husband of Mary or what the relationship they have with this Mary. Now, this Mary who brings the very costly perfume, in St. John chapter 12, they said she was the sister of the Lazarus. And Martha and Mary, they were two sisters. But now here, Lazarus' sister, Mary, bringing this very costly perfume. Okay, verse 8.
But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor.
Here we read, most of the disciples said, why this has done, we should have given this, sell this perfume, and then give this money to the poor. But actually the leader, the one person who had the box or the treasurer, that was the Judah. Go to the St. John chapter 12 and start reading from verse 4 to 6.
Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein.
Now see, in Matthew doesn't say that Judah said it. He just said most of the other disciples said it. But the John particularly said Judah was the one saying it. And he was not concerned about the poor, but he's concerned about some money he can steal it and put it in his pocket. That was his idea. And so you can see the Bible says the love of money is root of all evil. That is in 1 Timothy chapter 6 we read. But here we see what happens when he did not get the money. He did not get any saying. So he was a little bit angry. Okay, let's read. Go back to the Matthew chapter 26. Start reading from verse 10.
When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, "Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always.
When somebody reads this scripture and says, Jesus Christ says, I will be with you always. And now why he's saying, I will be not with you always? He said to the disciples, now they see me, but the day will come when I go to heaven, I will come back in a spirit. So they will not see me, but you will know it. That's why in St. John chapter 14, he says, I will come and I'll bring my Father with me and we will make our home in you. That is in St. John chapter 14, verse 23. But he even told them the Holy Spirit will come and guide you and lead you in all truth. I will not keep you as an orphan. But here he says, I will be not with you always. He's talking about the bodily. Okay, verse 12. Go back to the Matthew.
For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests, and said unto them, What will ye give me, and I deliver him unto you? And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples.
Now, he did not tell what man was, but it was arranged. In another gospel says, Go, and one man will be carrying the pitcher of water. Follow him, and then he will let you know. So his boss was going to arrange. And where they arranged it? They arranged it in upper room. And there they had the Passover feast. Verse 19.
And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even had come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me.
Okay, now see, many people get mixed up with this. There was a Passover feast, and they were eating the Passover dinner. At that time, they were eating together. This was not right now communion. They were eating the Passover feast. So he said, that person who dips his bread with me at that particular time, that person will be doing it. But there were 12 disciples. It is very hard to find out if that person did it, and if somebody did not find out right away, they will not know who the person was. But he gave some hint, watch for that person. Okay, verse 23.
And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth, as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said.
Now see how much clearer here he said. First of all, he gave the warning. Judah is listening. He said it was be better for that man was never be born. Because this man is going to go to eternal hellfire, not knowing he is betraying the Messiah. And so everybody asked. Now it was his turn, so he is asking, is it I? He said, yes. At that particular time, I don't know if everybody heard it. Because if he was close to him and he says, softly, and he says, yes, that's you, maybe other people heard it or not. But Matthew doesn't tell you everything in details. But let's go to the book of St. John, chapter 13, and start reading from verse 24.
Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake.
Now, Simon Peter, means the Peter, asked to the John, the disciple. He was youngest, and he was sitting near Jesus Christ, leaning on his breast. So he said, ask him. He just said by sign, ask Jesus, who is the person? He already said it in Matthew, Judah is, but here he's saying, ask him. So see what happens.
He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus said unto him, That thou doest, do quickly.
Now see here, he gave that bread to him, not the communion bread, the food they were eating. And when he gave it to him and he said, Now listen, in Matthew he says, who is dipping in the dish, that's the person. But he allowed him to dip and then he said, Okay, now you eat, take it. And as soon as he took it, the word of God said the devil got into Judas. Because the devil was waiting for permission. Without the permission, devil has no power to attack Christ or do anything. But this was his timing, so Jesus gave permission to Judah, go and do whatever you want to do, do it speedily. The other disciples start thinking, hey, he has the box, he has the money, maybe he's told him to do some shopping or something. But actually, he was telling him to go. And he already, before that, he already went and asked those people how much money you'll give. And they say, we'll give 30 pieces of silver. It is already in the Word of God. If you remember, we studied the prophecy fulfilled about Christ, and we studied in detail. But here we see, as soon as he gave the bread to him and gave him authority, go and do it quickly. So from that we know, nobody had the power to kill Jesus until he allows to enemy to do it. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew, chapter 26, verse 26.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.
Now see here, Judah did not get a chance to have a communion. After Judah left, he took the bread and blessed it, and then he gave it to his disciples and said, Take and eat, this is my body. And then he took the cup and he said, Take it and eat it, and he says, Drink it, all of it. So he told them to take the bread and eat it, take the cup and drink it, and then he said, This is the New Testament, new covenant I'm making with my blood. And if you remember, in book of Jeremiah, chapter 31, please read the verses 31 to 33.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more.
Okay, this covenant was never made with the children of Israel. They had the covenant with the blood of bulls and goats. Now Jesus Christ is making the covenant with his own blood. That time he says, he is shedding his blood for many, for the remission of sins. So it was not for Jewish nation alone, but now he says, I'm shedding this blood, I'm making a new covenant with my blood, your sins will be forgiven and forgotten, and there will be no record of your sins once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you remember, John the Baptist, he saw Jesus Christ coming to him. What did he say? Behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. And so he knew that Jesus Christ, one day, he's going to sacrifice his life for us. And read the 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. St. Paul says, this is the, what you call, Passover lamb.
Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Yes, so Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb for us. Now, today, Jewish people celebrating Passover, but nobody asking them a question. Hey, you're celebrating this Passover for many, many years. Where is the blood? They do not have blood in the Passover. They have Mazda, bread, no blood. And so, they are celebrating the Passover for many, many years. But where is the blood? First time they celebrate the Passover, that time actually blood was shed, and the blood was on the doorpost, top and the both side. Now they're doing Passover every year, no blood. But Jesus Christ shed his blood for us, and Paul says he is our Passover lamb. But God has to open the eyes of the Jewish people to let them know real Passover lamb is Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go back to the Matthew 26, verse 29.
But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Now, many people say Jesus Christ took the real wine, but here he says, this fruit of the wine. What is the fruit of the wine? It's grapes. So it was actually grape juice. But people don't know. If that's not my subject today, but if somebody has any questions, the grape juice or wine, I will explain to you later. But Jesus Christ never took wine in his life. Even though he was called the friend of the sinners, but he did not become a sinner to be friend of sinners. The wine is prohibited in the Word of God. Nazarene, they cannot even eat the grapes. They were prohibited not to eat. Jesus Christ was not called Nazarene, but he was the servant of God. He was the prophet. Because he was a prophet and a holy man and a rabbi, and the teacher of the Bible, so he could not break the law. In a book of Proverbs, he said, do not even look at the wine which is red. And so Jesus Christ did not break the law, but some people, they want to break the law. That's why they blame Jesus. Here he says, fruit of the vine. Okay, verse 30.
And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad.
Okay, now he says, I'll smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. That is written in Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. Okay, let's read the verse 32.
But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples.
Can you imagine? Peter had a lot of courage to say this when Jesus Christ already said it, not in Matthew, it's Luke chapter 22. He said, Devil ask you, Satan ask you to shift you like a wheat, but I prayed for you. That means devil wanted to destroy him. You remember how the devil asked God to persecute the Job, and he has to take the God's permission. He said, I cannot do anything because there is a hedge of protection over him. And so the Jesus Christ gave the warning to Peter, Satan wants you to destroy. I am giving you warning. I already prayed for you. You will not have any problem, but you are going to deny me three times tonight. But he said, no, even though I have to give my life, I will not do it. And all other disciples said the same thing. But we have to learn one thing. If God says something, he will not change his mind. If God said it, we have to believe it. We cannot guess, and we cannot go against the will of God and saying, you know, even the God says that, I have to do this. And many people try to go against God, and that's why they get into more trouble. Verse 36.
Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy.
Now here, did not give the name of two other disciples, but Peter, James, and John. These are the three disciples he took everywhere, wherever he wanted to go, and other disciples he will not take it. So these three disciples he took, and then he told them, stay here and pray, so you should not be going in trials and temptation. And he went a little bit further. In another gospel says, the stone throw away. That means maybe 100 feet or 50 feet away he went. Verse 20, verse 38.
Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death.
Now, remember this scripture. Remember this scripture. He says, My soul is sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. So what he was giving them an example, he said, Listen, my soul is sorrowful. That means I'm feeling in my spirit, I'm dying. And so we will come back to that. Just remember these things. He says, my soul is sorrowful unto death. Sometimes, you know, you feel in your body so weakness, feel like you're going to die. Verse 39.
And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words.
Okay. Now, when you see this prayer, three times he prayed and he said, take this cup away from me. But if it is your will, I will drink it. Now, when three times he prayed and sound like God did not hear his prayer. So many people will tell you, even though God did not hear his son's prayer, so sometime God may not hear your prayer. God only doesn't listen to the prayers of sinners. If you remember that the blind man got healed, and they were asking him question after question, and they start saying, you know, the man who healed you, he's a sinner. You know what he said? He says, I know God does not hear the sinner's prayer. He's not a sinner. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, he says, my hand is not short, my ears are not deaf, but I'm not listening to your prayer because the sin have come between you and me. That means God does not answer sinner's prayer. Jesus was not a sinner. The sin was not laid on him yet. He was the Son of God. God supposed to answer his prayer. Now, what is he praying? What cup he doesn't want to drink? He is not asking, I don't want to go to cross. What he was praying? Before he went to pray, he said to his disciple, I told you to pay attention to that scripture. He says, I am sorrowful, my soul is sorrowful unto death. So he was feeling so weak in his body. And as he started praying in this Gethsemane, the word of God says the sweat started coming like a blood. And so he was sweating the blood. And the medical way, they said, if somebody is sweating blood or blood coming through your body, that person will never live. He'll die. And many people died with that kind of problems. So Jesus Christ felt that he's going to die in Gethsemane. That's why he prayed. But in this Matthew chapter 26, it doesn't give the whole story. But if you read in John's Gospel when he was doing this communion service, chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, until 18 chapter, how much scripture he gave it to them and talked to them. But nowhere you will find in any other gospel that God did not hear his prayer. There is no clear cut here. He says, Jesus comes here and says, you know what? I prayed three times. God did not hear my prayer, so I'm going to take this cup. Didn't say that. So what was he was praying? He did not want to die in a Gethsemane. Why? Because he came to die on the cross. Why cross? Because the word of God says, whoever is hang on the cross or hanging on the cross is a curse.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.